When we meditate, we're learning a skill, learning how to do something we've never done before, and learning to do it well, which is different from simply learning about something. The knowledge where you simply memorize words, analyze words, understand the words, that's one thing. But learning how to do something is a different kind of skill, and also the skill of learning how to learn becomes important. This is one of the reasons why the Jhans take so seriously the various skills around the monastery, how to keep the monastery clean, how to chant, how to take care of your robes, how to provide the requisites. You want to learn how to do all of these activities well. And as you learn how to master them, you've learned an important lesson. This is how you go about changing your ways. Because the teacher can only teach you so much. If it's a subject where it's all in words, the teacher can teach you all the words. But when it's a skill, you have to master the doing yourself. Not only get good at doing it, but also becoming a good judge of how well you're doing. So you can improve yourself. As the teachers say, as the Jhans say, they can't be there to hold your hand all the time or to present things to you on a platter. When you're off meditating on your own, problems come up. You can't go running to the teacher all the time. You have to figure out how to deal with a problem on your own. So learning how to learn is an important foundation for what we're doing here. There are two teachings that are relevant here. One is the Buddha's teachings to Rahula when Rahula was still 7 years old. And the other is the teaching on the four bases of success. And it's good to compare the two because they throw light on each other. You know, the teachings to Rahula, the Buddha basically said, before you do something, ask yourself, what do you expect out of this action that you intend to do? What results do you expect? And if you expect any harm, don't do it. Any harm for yourself, any harm for other people, don't do it. If you don't expect any harm, then go ahead and do it. But while you're doing it, watch it. Watch what you're doing, watch the results. And if you see any harm coming up, you stop. If you don't see any harm, you can continue. When the action is completed, then you look at the long-term results. If you realize that you did cause harm after all, you go and talk it over with someone more advanced in the path to get some ideas about how not to make that same mistake again. You develop a sense of shame around the mistake. In other words, realizing that it's not good enough. You want to do something better. And then you resolve not to repeat it. If there was no harm done, then you take joy in the fact that you're progressing on the path, and then you try to continue progressing even further. So those are the teachings to Rahula. Basically, he's teaching you how to learn from your mistakes. You try your best. And even when you try your best, you find, oh, there's something not quite right. You notice that. You don't just say, well, I couldn't do better because of X, X, X. You have to say, I've got to do better. This is why making excuses for yourself is no way part of the path. But at the same time, when you do things well, you should take joy in the fact. But as the Buddha said, don't rest content there. Continue practicing. After all, that was the secret to his awakening. He didn't let himself rest content with even his skillful qualities. As long as there was room for improvement, he kept on trying. Now we compare these to the four bases of success. There are basically four ways of giving rise to concentration, but they apply to success in any activity. There's concentration based on desire, concentration based on persistence, concentration based on intent, and concentration based on your powers of analysis. Actually, all four of these things have to be present in any state of concentration. It's simply a question of which one is dominant. With desire, of course, the desire has to be focused on the results. What do you want out of this? But then noting what results are that you want, then the next question is, how do you get there? So you have to turn and look at the means. What do I do to get to where I want to go? This reminds you that concentration is something fabricated. It's done with a purpose. But to do it well, you have to focus on the causes. And then based on that desire, you develop your persistence. You actually do your best. Anything that comes up in the meditation that's not skillful, you try to get rid of it. Anything that's skillful, you try to give rise to it, and then nurture it, nourish it, maintain it, help it to grow. And then you're very intent on watching how it's going. The Thai translation for this word, intent, or citta here, is putting your whole heart into it. It also means that you're paying careful attention to what you're doing. You notice what's happening. As it's happening, it's related to alertness. And then finally, your powers of analysis. If things are going well, you try to understand why they're going well so you can recreate it. If they're not going well, you try to figure out what the problem is. Well, these two steps, John Fuang would say, for intentness, he'd say basically use your powers of observation. For your powers of analysis, use your ingenuity. Think of the Buddha on his way to awakening. He would try various things, and if they weren't working out, he would try to figure out, well, what else could I try? And if that didn't work out, well, what else could I try? He kept posing that question, how could it be done better? It required a certain amount of imagination. Which is an important part of your powers of analysis. So if you put the two teachings together, desire then applies to your intention to act, but your overall intention not to cause harm. So you've got two levels of desire. There's the overarching desire, in this case to find a happiness that doesn't cause any harm. But then you have your specific desires that come up. You want to do this, you want to say that, you want to think this. Are these little intentions in line with your overriding intention or not? That's how you have to understand how desire functions in the practice. You've got to have your main desire. It says if you have a constitution, and then the other desires come up, these are laws that you're going to put down. They have to be in line with the Constitution. You have to check them to make sure they are. This is one of the reasons why the Eightfold Path has right resolve as one of its factors, and then generating desire as part of the factor for right effort. Right resolve is your overarching set of desires. Right effort has to do with individual desires, individual intentions as they come up. And once you're sure that the desire is right, the intention is right, okay, then persistence, you actually try to do it well. You do your best. You don't just slough it off or phone it in. You try to put out your best effort, because the only way you're going to learn is from doing your best and then realizing it's not good enough. If you don't do your best, then you say, well, I wasn't really trying, so it doesn't really matter. If you want to learn, you do your best. and then watching the results. That corresponds to the factor of intent. Watching the results of your actions as you're doing the action and after the action is done. And then finally, your powers of analysis come in when you're trying to figure out if it was done well, what should be your attitude. If it was not done well, what should be your attitude? If it was done well, your attitude is take joy, but then continue practicing. Continue looking for improvement. If it was not done well, you go back and say, okay, what was the mistake? Was the mistake in the intention? Where did I do it wrong? If you have these qualities all working together, then you can learn from your mistakes, and that's how you develop skill. That's how you learn a skill. Doing your best, but knowing how to learn from your mistakes. And that's the attitude you want to have as a practitioner. I think I've told you about the medical school where they taught brain surgery. And they wanted a series of questions for the candidates who were coming to the school to figure out who would be a good candidate or not, because everybody applying all had A's. But just because someone gets A's on a report card doesn't mean that that person's going to be a good surgeon. It's a different set of skills. And the questions they finally settled on were, one, can you tell us about a mistake you made recently? And the person didn't admit to any mistakes. The person was not going to be accepted as a candidate. But then if the person did admit a mistake, then the next question was, well, how would you do it differently to avoid that mistake the next time around? And if the person hadn't thought about how he or she might do it differently, again, was not accepted. You want people who try their best. They recognize a mistake for a mistake, and then immediately try to figure out how not to commit that mistake again. That's the proper attitude for learning how to learn. The attitude that the Buddha taught to Rahula, the attitude that he taught in those four bases for success. So if you want your meditation to go well, it's good that you develop this ability to learn from your mistakes in every level of the practice, even the simple things that you see around the monastery. Keeping it clean, learning how to chant, learning the basic skills for making brooms, sewing robes. All of these things can contribute to having the right attitude. Otherwise, if you just phone it in, or do only half-best, you're never going to grow. And the teaching is all about growing. That's why the Buddha taught, so that we could learn how to stop suffering, which means that we have to learn how to change our actions, improve our actions, master our thoughts, our words, and deeds as skills. This is only then that we have any hope.